Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. And listeners, as many of you know, each Monday, we round up what's new to watch, to listen, or to read. Today, we're going to offer a rundown of the best books to keep your eye out for this season. With us now to offer her recommendations for great reads this holiday weekend is friend of the show, Maris Kreitzman. She's the host of the Maris Review, a new literary podcast, and also a contributor for Vulture. Maris, great to talk to you.
So lovely to talk to you, Allison.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. What are you reading that you love? Anything you want to recommend? We do like your recommendations. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Okay, so I'm interested in this book, Bunny, by Mona Awad. It was described by the LA Times as a, quote, wild, audacious, and ultimately unforgettable novel. So I was just going to set the scene and let you go. It takes place in an elite college, and there's this group of young women who refer to each other as Bunny. So, but then it goes dark.
So I call it Heathers, but set in an MFA program. So there's a lot of intellectual preening, but a lot of girlish behavior, some of which is very bad. and it's kind of a horror novel about what happens when groupthink takes over a writing conference. It is scary and funny and sharp and says as much about creativity as it does scary bunnies.
So it's interesting. It seems like it straddles several genres.
Yes, it does. And I think that if you take it as a parable, it's a novel about writing. It's about a novel about the craft of writing, in fact. But if you take it at face value, there's a lot going on.
All right, the next one. Oh, I think this is someone we're going to have on the show. It's On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. He's the child of refugees from Vietnam as his parents arrived in the United States in the early 90s, and now he teaches at UMass Amherst. And this is his debut, right?
Yeah, this is his debut novel, and it's a love letter from a son written to his mother, who also happens to be a refugee who left Vietnam and has wound up in America. And so through this book, the son is kind of a translator for his illiterate mother. Hmm. So he's writing down their story in order to be seen and to be heard, even though she may never read his words.
And he's known as a poet, am I right?
He's a poet.
So from reading the novel, do you sense that he is a poet?
Yes, indeed. His language is lovely, and there are definitely parts of the novel that veer off from straight prose into a little bit more of a poetic form.
Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. If you want to get in on this conversation, any books that you would like to recommend, it's our Monday review and preview section. Oh, Gregory is calling us from Harlem. Hi, Gregory.
Ooh. Hi. How are you? Great show. I was always love it.
Thank you so much.
Listen, I'm a great reader. I read like a novel a week. The public library loves me. I love the public library. I just want to shout out to the NYPL, by the way. I have a couple of recommendations because I've already read them. And anything in the In Death series by J.D. Robb, they're always fun to read. They're always good books. The guy I think is fast becoming the newest, John Irving, whose novel I read earlier this year, whose new one I read, this guy named Greg Iles. He is just amazing. He's got a new novel out called Cemetery Road. I finished off the finale of Dean R. Koontz last week, the finale of the Jane Hawke series, if anybody has read that. And, of course, Nora Roberts has her new one out that I read earlier this year, who is actually J.D. Robert. Her name is Nora Roberts, has a kind of fantasy fiction fantasy series that's out now. She's in the second novel of that. So and there are many more, but those are the ones I have right in my memory right this second.
Excellent.
Because I do read a lot. I don't even own a television, so that's why this is how I get my prime entertainment.
You're my kind of guy. Gregory, thank you so much
for
calling in. This is one I've seen in our offices. We've been talking about this one. By the way, my guest is Maris Kreitzman. Patsy.
Patsy is a lovely, it's a second novel by the author Nicole Dennis Benn, who is Jamaican and now lives in Brooklyn. And so this story is about a Jamaican woman who gets her visa approval, jumps at the chance to move to New York City and leave behind everything she knew of home, including her five-year-old daughter. And so Patsy is really a meditation on the ambivalence of motherhood and what it takes for us to pursue our sexual freedom and escape the assigned roles that we would do anything to break away from.
It's interesting. The New York Times said of this book that readers expecting familiar tropes around immigrant stories or queer stories, that they will be disappointed that this upends stereotypes.
Yes.
How so?
I think because everybody gets a point of view. And there are no straight heroes, and there aren't many straight villains. There are a few. but Patsy is a really complicated character, and she might be, in some people's opinions, a bad mother, but she's made some really bold choices to get where she is.
Oh, and this just in from our producers. I believe Nicole is going to be on all of it in about 2 weeks.
Perfect.
So this is very exciting. Let's check in with Amy from Manhattan, who is online too. Hi, Amy. What are you reading?
Hi. I just finished The Marrow Thieves by Sherry Dimeline. She's a Canadian writer.
What's that about?
I'm going to read the back. It says, the indigenous people of North America. I would have said American Indian, but it's, First Nation peoples in Canada. Are being hunted and harvested for their bone marrow because only the Indians can still dream and no one else in modern society can dream. So it's kind of like a survivor thing where they're this Indian protagonist is running to survive and meets up with some other people. And I mean, the writing is also really poetic and rich. But there's a lot of tension and excitement on the Hunger Games.
Yeah, it sounds a little creepy too. The good kind of creepy. Amy, thanks for calling in. Chris is calling us from Trenton, New Jersey. Hey, Chris, what are you reading?
Hi, I'm reading The Mueller Report.
Ah.
I have 100 pages left in about an edition that has it in about 700 pages. And I found it very easy to read and fun to read, if you will, if I might say so. And I think it's really important, obviously, but, it's interesting to hear, for one thing, about how the internet can be used today nefariously. And I think a lot of people would get a new perspective on how they use the internet, particularly social media. And also about how our government works and, give people a better understanding of that as well.
Chris Collins from Trenton suggesting we all read the Mueller report, especially the people who are in Congress. That'd be good. Chris, thanks a lot for calling in. You're listening to all of it on WNYC. My guest is Maris Kreitzman. She's the host of the Maris Review, a new literary podcast, as well as a contributor for Vulture. Okay, so Fleischman is in trouble. Taffy Bredesen Ackner, friend of the show. She was here on Pub Day. So this novel is about dating, marriage, divorce. What to you as a reviewer is exciting about the perspective she brings to those things we see in a lot of books?
Yes. Taffy is, first of all, a great profile writer in the nonfiction sense. And so she brings to her fiction such blistering observations about the people who populate her book. And Fleischman is in Trouble kind of subverts the narratives about marriage and sex that, quote-unquote, great male writers have been putting out for centuries.
So let's take a listen to a piece of sound from my interview with Taffy where she was talking about being obsessed with dating apps and how the man of the main character is this man, Fleischman, is obsessed with dating apps now that he's single.
Back in the 90s, you know, when we were all dating, you had to show up in your disgusting human form. You had to actually look people in the eye. You had to actually make contact and try not to look too needy, and then, but look needy enough and look engaging enough, but also very off-putting. I remember that it was a very hard balance. And now you could just date through these amazing apps, which are not always amazing, but they are amazing. And you could be at home while you're getting a date. Like, it was just amazing to me. And my friends who were getting divorced could not believe the wonderland of it. And that's what I wanted to write. And my GQ editor just said, you know what? None of our readers will understand that. They've been app dating since the beginning. They don't even understand what you're talking about. Like, are you talking about going to a sock hop? Are you talking about going to like a singles event at the 92nd Street Y for people over 40? Like, and at that moment, instead of pitching it elsewhere, I just sat down and started writing it. And while I thought it was a novel about dating, it turned out to be a novel about marriage. And then when it turned into a novel about divorce, I realized I had been thinking about it for a very long time.
It's so funny. Apparently on Twitter, some guy tweeted, "Hey, this lady is screaming in the airport about her book being number one in the New York Times," and it was Taffy. She tweeted back like, "That would be me."
What joy.
What joy. Let's talk to some more listeners. Jerry is calling us from Washington Heights. Hi, Jerry. What are you reading?
Hi. I just wanted to call one in that I read a while ago, but it's pride related, and I thought it would be a good one. Kim Fu, "For Today I Am a Boy." I don't know whether people know it, but it's a story of an older man, actually, who has grown up in an era just before it was sort of okay to start talking about being trans in public, and he's always felt some kind of pull toward that direction. And he grew up in an Asian household in America, had to leave home at a certain point because came out as gay, and winds up in all sorts of interesting predicaments because of this, and is just kind of mulling it over. I like it because it's very problematic for him to use all of the new concepts, and so a lot of the book is sort of around trying to wrap one's head around those concepts as an older person, and coming out, and not even having kind of the words to talk about it. But he works as a cook, or a cook for a while, and also a sous chef, and just there's a lot of different places that he winds up working and finding some awareness of his sexuality and his sexual orientation.
Jerry, thank you so much for the recommendation. We appreciate it. Our number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. If you have any book recommendations, our guest is Maris Kreitzman, the host of the Maris Review, a new literary podcast, and she's also a books contributor for Vulture. All right, next on your list it's called Very Nice by Marcy Dermansky,
yes.
And it's been described as a literary soap opera. What does that mean?
I think the best summer novels take place over the course of one chaotic summer, hopefully near a pool. And so it's really well written, but the plot involves a kind of bad boy literary novelist who might be a little bit past his prime, who stays for the summer in the home of his undergrad writing student, who he might or might not have had a relationship with. And he gets to know her recently single mother there, too, in Connecticut.
I see where this is going. Okay.
It is funny. It is a great take on kind of post-Trump America and where we are.
The next one, this book just came in Friday into my office, and I'm kind of intrigued by it. The Lady in the Lake,
yes,
by Laura Lippman.
So Laura Lippman is just one of the great thriller writers of our time, I would say. And her latest book is set in Baltimore in the 1960s. So it's historical. It's about a Jewish woman who separates from her husband and finds all of these newfound freedoms, but also ways to get stuck, and finds new ambitions, and also gets involved in two murders.
Oh, by the way.
Yes. It's also about that, too.
That's Lady in the Lake by Laura Lippman. Let's check in with Alex from Brooklyn. Hi, Alex. What do you want to recommend we read this summer?
Hi. I want to recommend, if people don't mind diving in to a 560-page nonfiction book, Midnight in Chernobyl, The Untold Story of the World's Greatest Nuclear Disaster. I was inspired by watching the series Chernobyl on HBO. I also have an interest in Cold War history. I'm kind of a Cold War nerd, and also about nuclear technology. But this is great. Adam Higginbotham, who wrote it, really went into it deep. And, you know, from letters, from memoirs, things that were recently declassified. And you get to know all the people who lived in the city, Pripyat, where it occurred. And you see all the background, and you see how it happened, and how a lot of it was, you know, just human error and sidestepping things to achieve their goals. But my concern was really trying to get the real story, and not just from HBO. And it reads like a thriller. It's great. It's really good.
I was going to ask you, does it read like history, or does it read like narrative nonfiction?
Narrative nonfiction, definitely.
Alex from Brooklyn, thank you for the recommendation. So, Marish, you've got another. This is a great book, John Waters' Mr. Know-It-All. What insight do you feel like you gained about John Waters after reading this book?
I think that he has the best prescriptive advice in any book I've ever read, which is basically like he touts the benefits of selling out, for instance. He says, whatever you might have heard, there's absolutely no downside to being famous, none at all. And I love that he's willing to talk about that, even though some of his earlier films were not quite mainstream.
Well, we have a little bit of a clip of John Waters when he stopped by the studio to give us some advice.
If you take what you think is probably a disadvantage in your insecurities and everything, and then you start to love them and make fun of them, as long as you can make fun of yourself first, my advice is to only make fun of things you love, not hate. And the tone is very different, and you can get away with it.
Such good advice, I think.
Oh, he's so good.
He is so good. Let's go to the next one on your list is Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. I know nothing of this.
Oh, this is a fun one. It's a romance set in kind of an alternative universe with roots in fan fiction, because in this book, the president of the United States is a woman from Texas who won in 2016, and her charismatic son happens to fall in love with the Prince of England. So it's the story about their international relationship, and it is charming and fun and maybe the great escape that you need right now.
Love a good escape. Let's go to Pamela in the Bronx. Hi, Pamela. What's your recommendation?
Oh, hi. I wanted to talk about a book that really talks about race and identity in this incredible forward-thinking way that's very relevant. It's called Your Face and Mine, and the author is Jess Rao, and he is just this great novelist. He's also a scholar that put together an anthology of writing about race, and I just want to say it's just everyone needs to read this book. It's just a fantastic story about what it means to be a certain race.
And what is unique to it, you think, in the way it discusses race?
Well, basically, the lead protagonist goes for a racial reassignment. So it's kind of like science fiction,
wow.
And it's like it's just great. It's written in the first person point of view, and you just feel like you're watching this person go through this unbelievable transformation, and it just raises all these questions in like this really great way. It's just so engaging. It's a great story.
Pamela, thank you for the recommendation. My guest is Maris Kreitzman, host of the podcast, The Maris Review. So Maris, I went and bought a book. I missed somehow reading Tara Westover's Educated.
Yes.
There are certain books that in the course of life and you're reading all this new, you miss.
Yes.
Can you suggest a book that like that, something like Educated, Michelle Obama's Becoming, something that people who love to read just may not have gotten to and they should think about?
I have a novel for them, in fact, because I think right now we're in, FX has the TV show Pose, and Paris is Burning is being talked about again, and there is this beautiful gem of a novel called House of Impossible Beauties by Joseph Cassara, and it is also about ball culture in Upper Manhattan in the early 1980s. And so I feel like it just missed the back-on-trend Vogue moment that ball culture is having. And even though it's maybe a little less fun than Pose, the novel is still just a wonderful feat of writing, and it has so many great different distinct voices.
All right, we're going to slide in one more listener suggestion. This is Caroline from Sussex County. Hi, Caroline. Real quick, what are you recommending?
Oh, my goodness, I have so many. Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Sometimes I read a book and I cry when it's over because it's over. Wow. And that was one. The other is A Woman of No Importance, which I heard about on NPR, and it's about Virginia Hall, who was pretty much single-handedly responsible for the French Resistance being successful.
We interviewed the author on this show.
Besides all the resistance,
yeah.
Resistors. And then the last one a friend of mine just recommended, and I'm reading now, it's called About Grief, Insights, Setbacks, Grace Notes, and Taboos. And I think everybody in the world has suffered grief. And it's a really, really great book because there's humor, it's easy to read, it's not full of platitudes and things like that. And it's by Ron Marasco and Brian Schuff.
Caroline, thank you so much. Maris, we've got about 45 seconds left. Any books you want to slide in there in our last minute?
We should say very quickly, Evie Drake Starts Over by Linda Holmes. I think it's just a feel-good read, romantic comedy that is sure to please on the beach.
And where can people listen to your podcast, Maris, The Maris Review?
The Maris Review is available wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Maris Kreitzman, host of The Maris Review and contributing book editor to Vulture. Thank you so much for helping us out with our books, reviews, and previews. Maybe we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you. Would love that.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you for spending part of your day with me. I'll meet you back here next time.